You might like to turn in your Bible to Matthew. And perhaps we can look to the Lord again. Father, thank you for your word. We've opened it. Help us with it. And our Father will thank you very, very much. Spirit of God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, and the believers are to be reminded and encouraged that they are, when they came to know the Lord as their Savior, God did a wonderful thing and gave them his wonderful person to be their wonderful life. That's what he gave them. So that they would have, they had a relationship to their old nature like all of us, and to the world system like all of us. But when they received the Lord as their Savior, God brought them into a unique situation where they were to enjoy his life, his person, his outworking. They were to learn of him. Now, having said that, so they were to reckon their old life dead, and a new life in Christ was to be theirs. And therefore, they had to practice. They already have their old nature. They live with it 24 hours a day. They live in the world 24 hours a day. But they also have God's wonderful presence. And they were to enjoy the outworking of God's wonderful presence as they travel down the corridor of time. In this old, having their old nature, having this body in this world as it is, they were to travel only this time, like David of old, the Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, thou art with me. There we are, going down the corridor of time. And we have to understand and exercise not the old system which we live with every day, our old nature and system. We have to understand there's a new way to learn and see everything, to understand the 24-hour day in which you live, to be able to understand it 1 minute at a time, to be able to trust God every second you go down the corridor of time. That's a whole new way, and it centers in the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, not your life, not their life, his life. Therefore, if you be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have passed away, everything has become new. You're brand new. You have a unique relationship to God that you never had. Now exercise it. Exercise that relationship. That's the problem. Because if I exercise that relationship, if I do that, how do I enjoy my relationship to myself? That's the problem. That's a problem for Christians that are real Christians, to be able to enjoy the new life in Christ, because I'd have to give up my life, my dreams, my aspirations, my thinking, my reaction. I like the so-and-so hamburger. I like it. And nothing wrong with liking the hamburger, but I make that major in my life. God is secondary. He's like, when I get saved, being saved, a Christian, it's like having insurance. So I got my grocery and pharmacy, everything. Got my refrigerator. I got everything. And I have God. It's like an insurance policy. You know, God isn't meant to be an ever-present companion, and ever is my life, my breath, when I go to bed, when I get up. He's to be our life. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, having keep that in mind, that's the problem. Nationally, church history-wise, that's always been the problem, and it has increased so that we have God on the outside. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, you kick me out of my own building like they did in the temple. They said, God, there's no room for you. We got all our idols, we got everything. Laodicea, you need nothing, you have everything. God will let you know if we need you. And that's deadly in the light of ever, ever expecting to enjoy the life of God. Therefore, First Matthew, not the second one. Matthew, chapter 11, going directly to verse 29. We did it, but I just want to start with that if I can. And 11:29, Matthew. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart. And what else? Not only am I meek and lowly in heart, but you're going to find under that yoke rest. And you're going to find, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 30, you're going to find it's a wonderful thing. I'm going to give you a rest. And you're going to find wonderful, wonderful a life. Under the yoke, that's right. I'm on the other side of the yoke, said the Lord. You're going to walk with me. You're going to go with me together down the corridor of time. I and you. I am your Lord and Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I'm going to take you down the corridor of time the rest of your life. Until I take you home. I'm going to take you down that corridor. I want you to know, boy, what are you going to ask of me, God? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Do you understand what I ask? Nothing. I'm giving you that which you don't have. I'm giving you an awesome relationship to who I am. So I want you to know, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Put it on. What I ask of you is to trust me, and go with me. Don't fight me, don't fight. And you know, just from life, when you take the trained ox under the yoke, and you take their under the yoke, and you know, I told you that 1,000 times ago, I have in my room over there, my grandfather's yoke, big yoke in the wall. I put it up in the wall so I never miss it. Big yoke, the old, you used to have it on the animals. But you take a new animal, and the old animal knows just what to do. The new animal gets under that yoke, and it goes down the corridor, as it down the field. And the new animal says, I don't want to do this. Say, well, it can do that. But you know what? It can't fight. The old animal. The old animal knows just what to do. And you fight, but you can't do anything because you're under the yoke. And wherever the animal goes. You go down the corridor. That's what you do. And you learn. And pretty soon you stop fighting under the yoke. And you learn to thank God for the yoke. And you learn to rest in God who has you under the yoke. But that isn't churchy, and that isn't popular to religion, and it isn't popular to Christendom. Christendom's fine for having a Christ as opposed to a Buddha, as opposed to pantheism, as opposed to Mormonism. We have a God, we're Christians. There's more to it than that, and you never enjoy being a Christian. Now, So therefore, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God goes and gives us, and we're to take that yoke upon us in a wonderful, wonderful way. And God is going to go and guide us. And as we go down the corridor, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's going to go, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is going to take Christ, when we receive him as our Savior, Christ the Anointed One, who consecrates, who sanctifies, who sets apart the believing heart. Christ does. Old Testament, they get anointed with oil and everything. All of that pointed to Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God sets you apart. He saves you. He sanctifies you. He consecrates you. He sets you apart. When you receive him as your Savior, he anoints you, which is what anointed is, set apart for sacred service. And he anoints you in a wonderful, wonderful way to do what he has to do. And you learn back to the yoke. That's what you do. And you go down and learn. And you have to relearn everything. You have to relearn it. And therefore, your life is new. Your life is new. Your life, Christ, is now your life. Your life is now new. The life I now live in the flesh, Galatians, is Christ. I enjoy yoke, a unique relationship. How about being independent? No, that's when you get out of fellowship. It's called carnality. And you want to die. I'm not going to be under that yoke. You can choose to take your head out. That's, oh God, I wish you didn't let us do that. But you do. Well, I don't want to put my head under that yoke. Then you don't have to. You can just be maybe saved, maybe not saved. You can do what you want. You have to want to put your head under that yoke. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, if I can, Christ is our life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, over to 1 John chapter 2. First John, and then chapter 2. And you will note, remember now, John is writing 40 years later or so, and writing and telling us that we need to practice, the Gospel of John, if you believe in the 21 chapters, and you believe and receive to measure Savior, then you need to go and enjoy the believing. You need to practice, have a practical outworking that you believe, that you've received. Show it. Show that relationship. Enjoy that relationship. And so as we read in 1 John, and in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, that we're to have a unique fellowship with him in a most wonderful way. We're to grow and to know. And therefore, in the process, there's a whole lot against it. The world system is against you growing and knowing. Your old nature is against you knowing and growing. And therefore, you've got a problem. We have to overcome that. We have to be able to overcome all the obstacles and all the everything that's against me growing, against me enjoying being saved. And if you look at your heart, think of your life. Here, if you truly know your Lord as the Savior, yes, the Lord is your Savior, how easy is it to enjoy being saved? How easy is it? When you're at work, home, school, kitchen, wherever you're doing, and the phone rings and someone yells at you and you think bad, you think, well, you get discouraged, depressed, depleted, and all of the other things that go in your mind. And they're all over the place. What happened to enjoyment of being saved? How easy is this to disappear? Because we take it, gone. See, getting in an argument with somebody, a problem with whatever. Now, so therefore, in the process, the gospel, 1 John chapter 2, and the enemy, the world system around us, verse 19, I'm going to read verse 18, you'll remember it. Verse 18, chapter 2, 1 John. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And therefore, how do we know it? Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made. Why did they go out? Because they were not of the same mind. They didn't want to enjoy the same life. They didn't want to enjoy God's life. And if you understand, that's what it's about. That's what I have to do. I have to put it out. It's nothing about my life, your life. It's his life. I need to understand it and seek to practice it. And that is offensive to people. See, yeah, think about it. It means you've got to be, really, boy, you got to be that. You must be real religious, you see. Real religious. Boy, you're really into this. Well, listen, there are people into communism that are real into it. And all over things, people that are religious in the wrong way. Why not be religious in the, why not be saved in the right way? Why not be zealous? God says to be. But we aren't. We're sort of, what can I tell you? So God tells us to be that way. You have to understand that. You're up against that. Your old nature fights that. You're having to overcome your old nature, let alone anything else, because it doesn't want to grow and enjoy God. And you have to reckon yourself dead and get to the point, not only that you're sorry, remember we said all this in 1 Corinthians 7. Not only that you're sorry for what sin or whatever you got, your dullness of life. Not only you're sorry, you need to be sick to death of something. And then you stop it. Being sorry won't stop anything. You can be sorry for a lot of things and be right back where you were. But being sick to death of something, that you don't want to do again. That you don't want to do. Sick to death. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, a little exercise if I can. And remember, they're supposed to know everything and no one needs to teach them. How come? No, God, I'm going to do it sort of backwards. I'm going to, right where we are, in 24, 27, 28, that's where we're looking right now in your mind. But in order to enjoy, in order to exercise that, let's go back earlier to the Gospel of John, which was should have read and should have believed so that we could go forward. Therefore, over to the Gospel of John, and you will note, just an exercise, Gospel of John, and in chapter 14. Now, having said that, chapter 4, in the upper room, here we are. So I want you to use your imagination and think you're in the upper room as a witness. Here are the 11. Judas has gone out. Here are the 11. Listen, actually, Judas heard some of it. Here's where they are listening. We're listening for this whole evening. want to get. Now, and then Peter comes out and talks to you and says, what did you learn from that? So what did you learn from it? So let's look at it like that. We're sort of sneaky, like a little mouse listening. Okay, now over to John chapter 14, and I'm going to start in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. We'll be happy. And our Lord Jesus said, you're looking at him. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet has not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And verse 10, continue thou, believest thou not that I am in my Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Now, the word dwelleth is the word to abide, to dwell, to rest. You're resting in the pew. You're dwelling, you're sitting, you're abiding in the pew. That's what you're doing, abiding. That's our word. Now, and it's a word translated dwelling, because that's what it means, dwelling. So what does it say in the end, in verse 10? At the end of the verse, I speak not of myself, but the Father that abideth, dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. God in Christ. That's right. God in Christ. That's what he is. He abideth in me. And I brought out just a little on my way, just to remind you, you know it, but easy. Someone that doesn't understand, maybe you might. In the process. Abide, branches, all over the place. But the branches that are like this on the ground, you're not going to see any leaves. You're not going to see any fruit. Nothing's there. Now, we're right here. Catch it. Chapter 15, and go with me to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That branch is just a branch. It's no good. You want to tie this, what you just read, to Deuteronomy, etc. Is God tells Israel that if you don't abide in me, dwell in me, I am going to make you a proverb and a byword. I'm going to make you understand the world is going to hate you. The world sees no good in you. The anti-Semitism. Not going to see it. The believer is supposed to be a believer, abiding. It's supposed to be abiding. I just pronounced this one dead, even though it has a little life. But you understand, it's supposed to be abiding. Is that so hard? That's not hard. My Father dwelleth in me, and all that comes out of me, the works that I do, all that I say is my Father flowing through me. God, think of Sunday school, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God in all of his essence, being in nature, flowing through me. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's all you have to do. What am I going to do, God, to have this life? Abide. abide like the branch. Now watch. We're still in the upper room. We're still sneakily listening. Now, therefore, if you would, verse 16, chapter 14, and in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter of the same kind. Why are you going to give the Spirit of God that he, verse 16, the purpose, that he may abide, dwell, abide with you forever. And once Pentecost comes, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and dwelleth, there's your little word, abide, dwell, remain, abide, dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Ah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to find his home in your heart. That's right. He's going to abide. Just going to abide. And sliding over again, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, and verse 1, I am the vine, true vine, and you are the, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Verse 6, all gone. All gone. What's the sense? They said they're believers. God said there's no testimony to me. So, and the world's going to treat them. The world doesn't care if you belong to Podunk Church and you go to church every night. They just say you're religious. If you're going around and saying, the Lord, the living God, has his home in my heart. Actually, God has his me in him. And I am in him, and he is in me. That's for real. Ah, that is unacceptable. Going to church and singing in the choir and preaching is no problem as long as you don't do that. Now, therefore, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you watch it. What do you want from us, God? What's the simple, awesome, permanent solution? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Every time, abide, I won't give you how many times, watch it. Just watch it. You're sitting in the room. What word did you keep hearing? Every minute you kept hearing it. Pay attention when God says the word over and over and over, because you say, the Christian life's, you mean you want me to be holy? Uh-huh. Be ye holy, Peter, as I am holy. I can't. God said, I am holy. And if I am your life, you is holy. You understand? That's why Matthew 5, when you come to the end, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why? Because your Father is perfect, and so is the Son, and so is you. You're perfect. You're holy. You're anointed. God has given it there. So what do I just need to do? I need to stay under the yoke so I can grow and know and learn. I'm not trying to go to school. I need to, but go to school and learn things. That learning I don't need. The world's out there doing theological. I don't need to be theological in that sense. I need to be a biblicist. I need to believe what God says. I don't need to have a whole lot of religious theories. I'm not trying to correct things. I'm trying to enjoy being saved. And that's what you want to do. So therefore, verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That should be 4 inches tall in your Bible. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You better understand what that says. You have to abide. You don't abide, you're going to be this. You're either this or this. Take your pick. And God says, I'm going to test this when I'm done to see how much we leave, how much we got. How much did we get? Watch it. Keep going. Keep going. In chapter 15, going if I can, to verse 6. If a man abided, we did that. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Abide, 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 abide. The whole business is abiding. It is so hard. Christian life so hard to live. You know, so hard. Man, it couldn't be easier. Put your head under the yoke and trust him. He didn't ask you to do it. He asked him to allow him to be God. Allow him to live his life. And God's pretty good at living his life. He just wants to live it in you and me. Now, keep on, if we can. In verse 8, henceforth is my Father glorified. How so? That you bear much fruit. Bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. The word continue is the word abide, is the word dwell, to stay put. Rest, stay put. As the Father hath loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you continue, abide, keep on abiding. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abide. It's not some big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's the biggest deal there is. Wow. But you got to abide. That means you got to stop trying to make your life so important. Your life isn't that important. No offense to you. Neither is my life. My life isn't important. God says I'm a piece of dust apart from him. I'm like a piece of grass. I'm like this. I'm not that. I'm important. Well, good. I can get a whole pile of wood and we'll put you together. Whole bunch of you. And you all come and call, and like the psalm says, come to the worship of the dead. The dead all get together to worship church. All the unsaved come to church. And here they come, and they all come, and they're all dead. And they look at each other, and they're all dead. They're quite comfortable, quite comfortable. If you become life, I'm sitting next to you. I want to start, say, what is it about you? You say, so God. How about that? Now, in chapter 15, no, I can. In verse, we did verse 10 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain. There's your word dwell again. Abide, remain, abide in you, and that your joy may be full. The branch allows everything to flow through it, to have life and leaves and fruit, but none of the leaves and the fruit belong to the branch. They belong to the tree. They belong to God. That's what they do. Sliding down to verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. And what are we going to do with the fruit? Love, joy, peace, God, your wonderful life. And that your fruit should remain, that remain, abide, abide, dwell, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. A wonderful, 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 what? God, you're going to do that. That's right. Do it again. You get any idea? you're in the upper room, you're sitting there, what do you keep hearing about it? God tells you every time how to do it. It isn't some trick that you're going to hang on real tight. See, I'm going to do it, God. You get tired of doing that. No, God said, I want you just to abide under the yoke. That's what I want you to do. What's so hard? What's so terribly hard? Wow, because I'll be changed to be like the yoke, to be under the yoke, to be like you. And I don't want to be like you yet. See, I don't want to be like you yet, God. No, I just want to be me. After all, my brothers, my family, you guys all had an opportunity. It's my turn to get worn out politically and every other way and retire. I'm looking forward to retire, you see. What's the retire? It's the end. You lived your life to what? To retire. And you die dead in trespasses and sin. What a lousy way to live. But people live it. Now, having said that, Romans 8, John 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, if I can, oh, you'll catch the thought in verse 31. Then they're asking about him, want to know who he is, etc. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The word continue is the word abide. You keep abiding in the word of God. You keep abiding in the word of God. That's how you're going to know God. He isn't going to talk to you out of the sky. He can move it, help us without that. I understand that. But he's given you his word to understand. So therefore, if you continue in my word, verse 31, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what do you know from 1 John? What you read in there. And here's all the coming. Here's the anti-spirit of Antichrist. Here's the spirit of the flesh. Here's what we're facing in our old nature. Here we are. And then verse 20 says, and you know everything. You are a knower who knows everything because of the knower. You know everything. How so? Because you're under the yoke. And the yoke is taking you by Christ on the other side, who is God. And therefore your education now is coming. A whole new way to see mathematics, to see English, to see everything. You see it in the normal way so we can send somebody to the moon. But we also see it that God has made everything, the laws of gravity and everything, flowers. Isn't it interesting? Spiders, little spiders. And the spiders come out of the mother spider, and the little spider, it goes down, and the little spider builds the same net web. Exactly. Eats everything the same, does everything. And the little spider never went to school. It was homeschooled. Do you understand? It's part of God's wonderful thing. When you receive Christ as your Savior, he is your knowledge. And all you do is enjoy God's knowing, not your knowing. He knows. And so as you know the knower, you know everything. You have to worry. Well, I'm going to worry about the weather. I didn't hear the weather for next month. But God already knows the weather for 10 years from now. He already knows it. So all I got to do is abide. And winter and spring, summer and fall, it's all going to come. And it isn't my job to figure out winter and spring and snow and sleet. My job is to abide. And when I abide, it's all going to just work out. Do you understand? I don't know what's so hard about it. Over if you can. Over in 1 John. Over if you can. John chapter 14 again, before you leave it. John chapter 14, which we've said often. What is it, John? Go on. John chapter 14, picking up, if I can, in all of that wonderful, wonderful context. Chapter 14, directly verse 20. At that day, Pentecost, when God, you receive him as your Savior, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I've got to know that. Abide. Abide. That's all. Watch, abide. So then you got a problem because you don't have a close enough relationship to God or a practical relationship to God. It's so simple. We're in his presence. And if we're believing, I received him as my Savior. But then all I have to do is say, thank you. And say, thank you, God. Thank you, like in Leviticus. Thank you for the sin of ignorance. That's right, God. You died for the sin of ignorance. For us stupid people, that's what you did. You died. I said, there's no way to fix it. I got to die and pay the price for your stupidity, your stubbornness. That's what I got to do. Got to pay the price. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 John, so you understand what I was trying to do. We didn't. Time is gone. But you didn't waste your time in the upper room. You certainly didn't waste your time in the upper room. If you learned anything in that upper room, man, isn't that wonderful? Abide. Therefore, what are you going to say to us, John, 40 years later plus? What are you going to say to us? What are you trying to tell us believers that are getting bombarded? Churches, all the different kinds and all the different ways. People come in, people go out, they go forth. What a mess. You bet it is. But what is the secret? Verse 20. You have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You all know. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 24. Let that therefore abide. That same word. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. We just read John 14, 15, etc. We just read the beginning. This is what they would have heard. This is what saved them. This is what they know. Then practice what it says, what you know. What's so hard about that? What you heard from the beginning. Rest in it. Rest down in God's word. God said it. God means it. God, boom, I'm resting down, God. What did you say? Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Thank you, God. Resting down. Now, having said verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that from the beginning shall remain in you. Does John 15 still stay with you? Without me, you can do nothing. So next week, I didn't forget it. Without me, you can do nothing. Next month, same thing. Let the word of God that you got find a home in your heart and abide. Abide. Don't put that away. I read that. Turn the page. I heard the lecture. I got the 4 points. Goody, goody. No. Let it learn. Let it get to your head and heart so that you're starting to grow. Don't you want to grow? Don't you like to know? Don't you want to understand? You should love understanding. Love how things work. That's why you got encyclopedias. That's why you got stuff to learn. Everything blows your mind away. Wow. Now, so therefore, let me keep going quickly. Let him therefore that abide in, let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. And ye also, if it's still sitting in your heart, you also shall continue. There's the word abide again. Continue, abide three times in the Son and in the Father. That's all. You're back to abiding in a simple branch to the tree. Simple. That's what he says. And then he's going to keep saying it now. Somewhere it should sink in. Because I can't do a thing with all those words unless I abide. Nothing. I can sit there and absorb and make a notebook and do whatever. I'll never have any leaves unless I abide. Period. And you can sit there and wait till you get discouraged and you go out the door and do whatever. It won't make any difference. God isn't interested in numbers. He doesn't need numbers. He's looking for whosoever that would abide. And that's why he spent his time with Peter, James, and John. He was able to give them the extra. And you want the extra. I want the extra. I don't want to be, listen, this is too big. And we're so little, and no one else seems to be doing it, then let us do it. I don't know. What do you think? Oh, yeah. Good. Go have a hot dog. You get the idea? Our Father, thank you for your patience. Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your grace, your kindness. Thank you for abiding. Thank you for the yoke. Thank you for the yoke. Thank you very much. Thank you that we can put a head under that yoke, that we can be a student, and you be the teacher, and you, the Spirit of Truth, will help us in every way to understand that we have everything. We've been born new creatures in Christ, and we just need to outlive it in time until we get to you, God, in your eternity. And our Father, we thank you for loving and caring, and somehow, God, help us. Spirit of God, yep, I owe you, and owe you, I owe you forever. I do. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.